Hey, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of The Startup Chat, we're going to give you guys 20 or more tips on how to start a brand new business without raising any money from investors.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
So you go first. Yeah. Tip number one. Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to get money, not just investors. So I've seen a lot of businesses start where they do consulting first. It might even be unrelated. Ideally, it's related. And you can use a consulting to go learn about businesses. So what if you consulted local coffee shops because you wanted to build like a point of sales product for them, right? So you consult them, tell them how to get more internet savvy. This probably would have worked a few years ago. And in that process, figure out what their needs are and then build your product and MVP.
I love it. All right. So consulting as a way to self-fund and do customer development at the same time. Love it. Well, another way to do it or another tip is to do it on the side. I mean, I think a lot of times people think in order to be a real entrepreneur, you have to do it full time and you can't have a job. I think a lot of times people use their job as an excuse, unfortunately. Yeah. They're like, well, this would be going a lot better if I could just quit my job and do this full time. The only way to do that without any traction and revenue is to raise money. So let me raise money so I can quit my job. That's not healthy or productive thinking if you want to be a business owner. So come up with a way to start small. Make small goals. All you have to do is, can you, you know, make $200 a month in revenue? And then can you get $300? And then can you get just enough revenue and revenue growth to project the point in the future where you can quit your job?
Yep.
Right? Take mini steps. Maybe it takes you 1 or 2 years. Who gives a shit? Right? Build something slowly and securely and do it that way.
Yeah. And just to riff, because we're going, you could even do freelancing on the side to start building income outside of your core job if you feel like you can make the time but you're not ready to leap into a specific idea.
Yeah, I mean, today more so than ever, there's no excuse for I can't make more money. Like, you could drive an Uber, you could be doing translation somewhere, any kind of skill can be translated into money. Like, my brothers were owning a small kind of retail business, and for a few months it was going really bad. They had cash flow issues. Yeah. You know what they did? Both of them, they started working part-time at UPS.
Yeah.
Like being those box guys that put the boxes in the cars.
Yeah.
So they would wake up at 3 a.m. and 3 to 7 a.m., they would fucking load those UPS trucks and then go and open their store.
Yeah.
Right? And that helped them through that helped. Their cash flow. It's just a few hundred bucks. That was all that was between sudden death or keep going with the business. So that's what they had to do. And today I think there's even, you know, less strenuous and horrible ways to do it online.
Well, I'm assuming your brothers are down for that kind of stuff. That's easier for them than the internet or whatever, right?
But you can make some money and add some savings to make this a less risky proposition and to self-finance your business, whatever investment it needs. All right, next one.
Now I want to know what boxes they stole, because I know your brother's awesome.
No, I don't know.
Just kidding. just the image in my head.
He just has some gangster image of what my brothers look like. Good. I want you to feel a certain level of fear and respect.
No fear and respect. I like gangsters, but like, you just come across that way too. I like it. I'm giving Stelly a hard time. All right. Next tip for starting up. I love the idea of learning about an industry by offering to work for free.
Mm.
Like, just straight up being like, hey, can I just shadow like that coffee shop? Can I just be a barista for like a week, right? Yeah. And just say, you don't have to pay me.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously, I'm competent. I'm starting my own business, right? You can test me, whatever. And then you just do it, and that's how you learn. And people don't mind a free volunteer. Just takes convincing, right? Yeah. Or something like that. Even just saying, hey, I'd love to just watch how things work. Can I just sit in the corner for the whole day, right? Or something like that, right? That's another option. But I think when you're adding value to them, it works. I have a friend that is actually attempting to work for free for his bar's higher. this is like a very fancy place, and he's doing the same thing, making friends with everybody and doing that. So I think if you at least feel like you can make friends, right, and you have that skill set, then being able to learn about an industry just by working for free is really valuable, and that can kickstart ideas in your head for the industry.
I love that. So I'll turn that around in getting free shit from other people. Okay. Like, you should major and you can become an expert at that if you want to self-fund and self-finance a business.
Okay.
Is find ways to save money or defer paying for things.
Okay.
So this can be a whole barrage of things. You could get office space.
Yeah.
You can go to somebody else's office space and say, hey, I need a desk right now. That's all I need. I'm going to offer you X amount of services. Time out, clean up
like
the
if
kitchen.
You're a designer. You can design work for them. Barter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Design work for you. We're going to do X, Y, and Z for you. And in exchange, we get this, you know, some free office space. So just like one or two desks that you're not using today, I'm going to be able to use, and you can throw me out at any point in time. Boom. Free office space. I know a bunch of people, even some friends of mine in New York, that proposed that. And they had a big team that like 5 or 6 people, and they proposed doing some services for free to like a large, really cool creative agency in New York. And the agency liked that pitch so much that they were like, yeah, you don't have to do anything for us. The entire, you know, whatever fifth floor of the building we've rented, but there's nothing happening there. So go crazy. We don't care. And they had this huge office space all for themselves for like 2 years for nothing, nothing, zero in Manhattan, like in a really great location for nothing. Just ask for it. Right.
That's so figure it easy, right?
Yeah. I mean, that would have been crazy if they had to pay rent for it.
Yeah.
So you can ask for free rent or offer something in exchange. You could ask for deferred fees, you know, for people, you know, you need something to be designed, you need something to be built, you know, obviously it's not easy to get something for free. You have to sell it and you have to hustle, but there are people that are going to do something for free for you to get paid later or get some equity in what you do. You can always give people equity as an exchange currency. You can defer fees. A lot of people don't even realize that. I mean, one thing that's kind of crazy and interesting about the Valley itself is that law firms and lawyers, because of the crazy funding environment here, if you work with the right ones, they will defer all their fees until you raise certain amount of money. But then you have to be careful on how they bill their hours. Because if you don't, I had somebody that they'd raised $500,000 and then they had to pay $150,000 to the lawyers. Yes, because they never paid attention to how many hours they were clocking up.
Nice.
That's obviously stupid. So you have to be good at managing that. But you can go to service providers and get things for free for them and tell them that they're going to get paid once you get the first customer, or they're going to get some equity in exchange. Get free things. You don't have to pay for everything.
That's can't argue with that. I mean, you have no money right at that point. That's what we're assuming.
Yeah.
Or you have no money for this, right? The other one that is kind of related to some of the stuff we said that really I hear a lot is like, I don't have an idea. And so I think a lot of the strategies we've already discussed can help you solve that problem.
But we want to talk about self-financing part especially. So tips about how to do things without raising money or taking money from investors.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't have an idea is still like very common for someone.
All right.
Right? Like just because, like, for example, right? Many folks are ready to do their own company. They think they're capable. They're getting frustrated at their job, but they feel like they have no idea, so they don't leave. Right?
Yeah.
So the first layer is I need to keep working because I need money. So they're already in that mode.
Yeah.
Second layer is I don't know. They're basically saying, I don't know what to do, but I want to leave. I don't know what to do. I want to start my own thing, right? I don't know what to do. And another one is I don't know what to do. I don't have the money. So it's all related because they still have their job and they're relying on it as money. So the big thing that I just wanted to point out is that all the things we're saying, freelancing, being able to work for somebody even for free so you can learn, or doing customer development whichever way you can, all those things you can do while you're working, but also before you've even dedicated to an idea.
Yeah.
As long as you're willing to do some work, right? And once you start seeing money, even freelancing, it just gives you some different income and just changes the way you think about things. I think we also underestimate those kind of things.
Yeah,
right?
So build the skill set of making money in various ways. That will induce confidence in your ability to make things happen. And it'll take away the fear of, I need one source of reliable income, ideally the source that I've known for the longest, and I don't know if there are other sources. No, make money in different ways. You know, make money by freelancing, make money by building something, make money by, you know, selling something somebody else has made.
Make money by buying something and selling it for more, right? Yes. That's classic, yeah. Right? And that just makes you some money. And then who knows what that can turn into, right? That can turn into a Shopify store.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So if you want to be an entrepreneur and you're not already there yet and you're wondering how to get there, one way could just be to experiment in new ways of making money. It doesn't have to be millions. New ways of making any type of money.
Yeah, have an Etsy store. Go learn how to market it. Like, these are not bad skills to have.
Go to a farmer's market and set up a shop and sell something, right? Something. It doesn't matter. Just do something.
If you're in the Bay Area, just make sure it's organic. But yeah.
Yes, exactly. But learn new ways of making money.
Yeah.
That might create an idea, but in the world, even if it doesn't bring you to the enlightened vision of what you want to do for the rest of your life, it will create a very entrepreneurial mindset, and it will create the confidence that you need to be an entrepreneur to start your business, especially without having a secured, pre-financed, you know, amount of money in the bank.
What about if you're not an engineer? Because usually if you're not an engineer, you need money for engineering. If you're going to go do freelancing or something on the side, that's probably not enough money to pay engineers.
Well, that's a good question. So if you're not an engineer, then you better be in sales, right? That's really, to me, there's only two types of people that add value in a new business, either the people that create the product or the people that sell the product. Yeah. And selling could be getting PR, getting investment, getting people to join.
Wait, you call it sales, I say product and distribution. Yeah, product and distribution.
Distribution, right. Yeah. So you
bet. I'm a marketer, you're a salesperson.
There you go. More. That's why we talk about it in different terms. But you better learn
how to get customers,
right? That's it. And the customer in this case could be, you better learn how to pitch an engineer and get them excited about building something for you for free. Yeah. If you can't do that, you better go, I would start that way. You better go and get some customers, because customers are a great selling proposition to an engineer.
Absolutely.
Like, because you know how many...
We're already making money. You could get paid.
Not only that, I'm talking to somebody that's not an absolute joker that will bring zero value to this partnership.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you're an engineer, you go to any type of events,
you're hit up a lot
by people that are like, I have such great ideas. I don't know how to build them. If I have the great ideas and you're going to build them, we're going to be great. No, motherfucker. I have my own ideas. I don't need your great ideas, right? But if somebody approaches an engineer and says, hey, dude, I had this idea. I built a blog. You know, I wrote a bunch of articles. We have traffic. I have three customers that want to pay me. I don't know how to build this. That seems a lot more.
They'll perk up. Like, oh, you solved some of the problems that I don't want to deal with, right?
Exactly.
I just want to build a product.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this might be a person that will bring something real to the partnership, not just, I have great ideas.
Value first, basically.
Yeah.
Go
and get customers. I mean, even if you don't have the product yet, go and get some people that will tell you, hey, here, I have money. I want to give it to you if you can give me the solution. And then you'll have to tell them, sorry to disappoint you, the solution is not ready. But now you might have pre-financing. You know, I've written about this a lot, where you go to customers and you pitch them on this product. You get them really excited and you tell them, listen, we're going to have an early access program. And, you know, if you put down a deposit, you're going to get first access in 3 months once we launch. Okay. And that can be a great way to finance what you're doing. This is in the history of entrepreneurship. It's been done a lot, where companies would pay for something to get access to it in the future. And that payment allowed the business to build the thing that they were selling back.
Yeah, I mean, I Microsoft has started like that.
Many companies, many great companies.
But, you know, and on that note, as you were talking, it reminded me, it triggered something that happened a lot a couple years ago. Now I think it's still happening, but it's not as popularized, which is there's a whole cohort of self-funded entrepreneurs, solopreneurs and all that were creating ebooks and selling them. And doing the packaging, right? There's a bunch of them. We can put links to a bunch of them. But this was a few years ago. Now a lot of them have built software and have evolved it. But like, I love the idea of starting by selling an ebook to your target audience, because that'll help you learn how to get that audience. It'll help you learn how to educate them and create content for them, which eventually you can solve with software if you have the audience, right? So I would recommend that, like, if you're still at a job, you can easily on nights and weekends create content and either try to market using the content, or even market and sell the content itself to a target audience and build a list.
Yeah, I love that. So on that note, it's finding new creative ways to create value and then be able to capitalize on that value. So one way is you can just get the cash and the money, but there's many, many different ways. There's there's an example that I want to give of some guys back in Germany that successfully grew a fitness application into and sold it for millions. And it was like three students, and all three had no clue about applications, software development, any of that. Mm-hmm. Now, what they didn't do is they didn't go to some engineers or try to get some money from their parents and spend 30K for somebody to develop something for them. What they did is they went, well, we want to do a fitness thing because we like fitness. We don't know exactly what it should be right now. Let's just start a community. So on campus, they started offering free weekend trainings. And they would, you know, first it was just themselves and a few friends, and then it grew, and eventually it was like 50 people, 100 people at a park. And then they were like, wow, this is bigger than we can easily manage ourselves, so let's start a Facebook group. So they invited all the students that wanted to work out with them on the Facebook group. And this Facebook group, you know, created a community. That community eventually they did exactly that. They created an ebook. And they sold it and built a huge email list, built a very big Facebook group on awesome. Many campuses.
Awesome.
And then I think they sold an ebook a few times and made like 50, 60K. And that money they then took to finance the first version of the app, yeah. Right? But they already had a fucking community.
That's right. Ready to buy.
Yeah, ready to buy things from them that financed their software development and probably also shaped the way they thought about
absolutely.
What kind of product they should build. Yeah. So that's an amazing way of doing it.
It's the key. It's the key. Even if you're funded, you want to do things like that, right?
Yeah.
So why not do that? I mean, let's put some math behind it, right? Because like we can go deeper into one of these. I think this is one that it's probably a common pattern now. I believe you can create one of these within 40 hours of time.
Yeah.
Like one of these like ebooks that people will pay for.
Yeah.
And I believe you can market it in probably that time as well, right? Let's say 60 hours at most, right? So if you break it down, you say, I can do 4 to 6 hours a week. You can get this done in 10 weeks in nights and weekends and have a product that's launched, right? So 2.5 months, let's say 3 if you want to really be slow about it, right? You can create a paid ebook, no matter who you are, as long as you're willing to dedicate 4 to 6 hours a week. I think you could do it faster.
So what's the step-by-step?
There's a bunch of blog posts out about it, but essentially you got to find your audience. You got to do customer development, not for software, but just in general to go find the problem. You can also find the problem online a lot of the time that people have because they're complaining about it. And then you create content to address their problem, whatever that looks like how-to guide or whatever. Whatever makes sense considering the problems that they have. And then you start writing the content, getting whatever resources, whatever you need. You polish it up a little bit, right? I mean, the tools are all out there to do this for free. I mean, a product like Quip, Q-U-I-P, you can make something look lovely there and export it to PDF. And you can be me, a non-designer, a non-engineer, right?
Yeah.
Having no skills on Photoshop or any of that stuff. And I can go create a beautiful ebook on Quip just by writing in my, you know, browser and exporting it out as a PDF. So I think you don't really have an excuse if you want to provide value like that. And the content creation of it, I mean, it's not that hard to write. We all write. Take some work if you haven't done it before, but it's totally doable. So process is pretty simple. Find problem, write about problem, right? And then start creating an audience for it. If you spend most of your time creating the audience and figuring out how to get there, that's probably the most challenging part, realistically.
Yeah. I love that. So one other tip from my end is...
Maybe it's the last one.
Maybe, is arbitrage. You know, find some way where you have access to a specific resource that is more valuable to somebody else and you know, take a cut.
Yeah.
So
just be a broker. Arbitrage is basically buy low, sell high.
So yeah, be a broker of value, right? So there's many ways to do that around the world, but one great way is talent, right? So I know a lot of businesses, the way they started up is some business guy said, okay, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to have a startup, I want to do something in technology, but I have no tech background. So instead of trying to convince a bunch of engineers to work for that business dude and build his or her great ideas, What they did is they found a pool of talent of engineers, and they basically sold the engineering time to a customer, right? So they just started a development shop, right? So the business guy now brings in the bacon, goes out, gets customers to pay a higher rate than you have to pay the developers. Yeah. And all of a sudden you have a business, it makes profits. You learn how to work with these engineers, you know, learn how to work with you. And eventually you hopefully build up your portfolio to the degree where you have some free time. And then you say, hey guys, let's start building our own products and not just products for others.
That's right.
And you transition out from a services business to a product business potentially. But you literally need nothing else than go find some engineering talent and go find some companies that need engineering talent and brokerage, match them up and manage it, right? And boom, you got yourself a business and you got yourself some engineers, right? So that's a beautiful way to finance, kickstart a business, finance it, and eventually turn it into, you know, a technology company or product company if you want to. You don't even have to do that.
We're going to end with this. I'm going to just sum this up real quick because as you were talking and I was thinking about this episode, it really turned into creative ideas to start a company with very little money, if any at all, as long as you're willing to put in the time, right? And I think we gave a lot of different tips and a lot of different ideas. I'm sure there's a ton of stories out there of people starting like that. I don't know how or when, but like we'd love to start collecting those. So on the Facebook group or even an email or even a comment on our blog, like let us know about stories, right, of how you started in similar, very creative ways with very little.
Yeah, I think that the world definitely needs more of these stories to be shared because too many people are stuck on the, you know, whatever Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs trajectory of this is what entrepreneurship looks like. And for me to be able to be that, I need the fancy financing and the funding. I need to be in Silicon Valley. I need this, I need that, versus the more, you know, not that that's impossible, that that's not a way of doing it, but it's not the only way of doing it. And if you're not already there, or if that doesn't seem easy to you, then there are many, many other alternative options for you. They might be a bit messy. They might not always look pretty. But if you want to be an entrepreneur, it's not about like super easy and nice and tidy. No way. It's like a messy business. Yeah. So you might as well get used to it from the get-go if you want to be successful. So please share these stories. And we will share them and collect them. And we'll hear you very soon.
Sounds good. Bye.